Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arizona. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today to receive a $1,000 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Check out the new PropSwap.com and use promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. We're also brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy sports simplified. Head on over to PrizePicks.com and use promo code SGP for a 100% deposit match of up to $100. And next, we're brought to you by SoBet. Sign up to bet against your friends and join the social betting revolution at SoBet.io. That's SoBet.io. And finally, we're brought to you by Better Fantasy. Better Fantasy is a new free-to-play app that allows you to sync your fantasy football league and bet on head-to-head matchups. Download the app today or just head on over to betterfantasy.com/SGPN. That's B-E-T-T-O-R fantasy.com/SGPN. And while you're downloading apps, don't forget to download the SGPN app. It's your home for all of our free picks and podcasts right there in the palm of your hand. Download it wherever it is you download apps.
Howdy ho, Degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Episode 91 we're up to already, so this we'll dedicate this to the year 1991. A great year for music, great year to meet a future wife, great year for your associate co-host to turn to. Just great, great year all around. I'm not mentioning who I'm talking about, I'm just saying in general. That's a very general statement, although, so... Hi, everybody. Thanks for coming to the podcast. I would be Jeff Fox, your host. Hopefully you're listening to us on our MMA Gambling Podcast feed. If not, make sure you pop over there and subscribe to that so you can get us in your ear holes as soon as we record. The SGPN feed puts us out a day or so later, and you don't want that because we give you hot, hot picks on this podcast that you need to jump on immediately. We have a lot of power. We move lines on this podcast. Leanna Jojua screwed us out of a underdog pick last week, and now she doesn't have a job anymore. We got, I wouldn't say that's a coincidence. We got power here. The other half of this power couple, has got a lot of nicknames. A fan, I guess we can call him a fan because he said he liked the podcast. A fan on Twitter called him the linguist today because he's so good at pronouncing names. I don't appreciate any complimentary nicknames for Mr. Gumby, but that's what he says his name is. And I'm going to be known as the Almighty, which I do approve of. So let's say hi to the linguist, Daniel Vreeland.
So the linguist would be a unique MMA nickname. I don't think there's a linguist out there. The Almighty, on the other hand, I do believe you'd Arnold have to Allen. Fight Arnold Allen for that. Yeah, which, of course, I obviously fought Joe Horn for my nickname. So that's how nicknames work, right? Like, don't you have to fight the guy for the nickname?
We're in the wrong weight class. You don't think I can cut to 155? So that's
45 for Arnold Allen.
That's right. No, I definitely cannot do that. So I don't even remember when I was 145. Probably grade maybe grade 9, I guess. Maybe grade 8.
I think the last time I was 145 pounds was 10th grade. I went into my freshman year of high school weighing 92 pounds. Because I was a real little guy. Yeah, and then I weighed 220 when I graduated.
Wow, somebody got on some juice, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, that's definitely what it was. That's,
TRT and juice.
It was all muscle. I had the Chuck Liddell pot belly. Yeah, like it was definitely that, and not like, you know, a foot of height and a newfound love for being able to drive myself to get pizza.
Wow, pizza. Oh, yes, you had to drive places because you lived in the middle of nowhere, correct?
Yeah, you couldn't get anything delivered to our house. I'm pretty sure you still can't get anything delivered to my parents' house. I think for a while they had one shop that was like willing to, but it was like a $20 charge just to consider driving that way.
So no mountain climber willing to bring things to your parents? Too bad.
No. They got to get a Sherpa.
Exactly. So this is the first time you're tuning in, this is the type of stuff you're going to hear lots of on this here podcast, especially in the weeks to come, because we've got a barren MMA schedule coming up, Dan, which is a little worrisome. What kind of nonsense are we going to get ourselves up to when there's no UFC next week?
There's not really much of anything next week. I was just trying to find other promotions that might be holding fight cards next week. There is Bupkis. Unless
that's an amazing one. That reminds me. I got to remember what it's – go ahead. You can keep going. I got to remember what it's called. I found it on Sherdog. I'm like, oh, that's a great name for a fight promotion. Wonder if Dan knows it.
You were looking it's on the 27th or the
26th? I'm not sure. I got to. Oh yeah, this is also the podcast where we look things up while we're recording and do math.
Did you know Henan Barão is fighting this weekend?
I heard he was coming back. Yes. Where is he now?
Premier FC, which is like maybe 15 minutes down the road from where I live.
Are you going?
I'm not going, mostly because I think I asked that place for media credentials one time and got turned down, which is funny because, like, I've been a media credentialed member for Bellator and World Series of Fighting and the UFC, and for some reason Premier FC turned me down. Maybe it's just because I don't cover enough of their stuff. But, yeah, they turned me down, and I was like, I am not about to pay $80 to watch Henan Barão and get this. Check out this other MMA legend fighting on this fight card. Marcus Davis.
Oh, wow. He's still – the Irish hand grenade, you mean?
The Irish hand grenade, Marcus Davis, will be fighting. And if I'm not mistaken, the guy he is fighting is like 3-13 on his career.
Beautiful. Well, the biggest promotion in the world is running next week. One championship, so we can cover that for sure.
That's right? 7 billion viewers.
Can you even bet on that anywhere? Like,
not usually. Sometimes they show them tape delayed. So, like,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I suppose we could cover that Triad Combat that's next week.
Oh yeah, that's coming up too.
Is Frank Mir boxing on that?
I think so. Yes.
And Matt Mitrione, Matt Mitrione's in a bare knuckle MMA fight. If I'm not mistaken.
MMA careers do not end nice 99% of the time, do they?
No, they end really ugly.
Yeah. Oh, here's a promotion we're going to cover next week. Bizarro Promotions. Bizarro. Spelled incorrectly, of course. Bizzaro Promotions. Bayfront Brawl 11 from the Bayfront Convention Center, Erie, Pennsylvania. You feel like making the trek there, Dan?
I think I'm good, thanks. Yeah, I'm good.
Nikolai Gionte versus Victor Guarello is the main event. No? Oh,
yeah, I'm going to pass on that one. Right. I haven't heard those names before.
Wow, that shows you how bizarre this organization is. Dan, I've never heard of it.
You got to love a regional fight promotion. We could cover Firepower 3 live from Sacramento.
Sure, if you want. Whatever. So whatever you listeners.
That to be fair, as an Ultimate Fighter veteran in the main event.
Who is it, Dan? So it comes back to tough, as usual.
Aaron Phillips. He was on the last season Ultimate Fighter. Andre Petrov, he beat the hell out of him.
So, listeners, whatever you want us to cover, I'm sure Jong will have a million ideas for us. So Superfan Jong on the SGPN Slack channel, which y'all should get in on. Whatever you people want us to cover on the American Thanksgiving week, let us know. And then I guess the end of the year, we'll have end of the year stuff we can cover. So we may not need your help then, but definitely next week we're going to need your help for sure. Because we don't want to have to put in too much effort in this, right?
No, we never try to.
We're supposed to be off the cuff and freestyle on the whole thing, so we can't really be putting too much work into things here. No. We have an event to cover this week, luckily, though. Before we get to that, let me tell you about WinBet. Ready to win money and boost your odds? WinBet is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. We're bringing the excitement of Win Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards right at your fingertips. Get in all your favorite teams, players, and sports from NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, golf, MMA, WNBA, college football, and more. WinBet has some brand new bonuses. New users can bet $1 and win $100 in any sport. Plus you, I'm talking about you, can get up to $1,500 as a free bet on WinBet if you make a first deposit of $20 or more. Whatever your first wager is, WinBet will match it 200%. For example, if you bet $100, you get a $200 free bet. Max wager match is $750, so they'll give you $1,500 match max. Now, Dan screwed you over with the last bonus suggestion because who was it you picked? You picked Denver over Dallas, and that did not happen, Dan.
No, Denver looked terrible, so I blew it. I blew it on that one.
So you want one for today? No, yeah, you got to make it up to the people, man.
I probably shouldn't do it for today, right? Today would be this isn't going to air in time for anybody to put a basketball wager on a Wednesday night. So Thursday,
you tell me how quick you get it out.
Yeah, not that quick. Thursday, let's go against Denver. I'll take the Sixers getting 8. It's in Denver, but I'll take the Sixers getting 8.
All right. I don't know about that, guys. But anyhow, great promos. Odds and payouts are happening right now at WinBet. From boosted parlays to live in-game odds in every major sport, we have what you need to win. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer, risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Bet big, win bigger with WinBet. Download the WinBet app now or visit WynNBet.com. Even if you take Dan's advice, it's not your money. Anyway, it's WinBet's money, so it doesn't matter if you lose. So, how about PropSwap, guys? We're brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. PropSwap always has the best odds because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. See a bet you like, but think the price is too high? Submit a bid for a price you think is fair, and then buy it. Use the promo code SGP, of course, on your first deposit, and PropSwap will double it up to $500. Double the cash means double the odds. If you love sports betting, you need to be using PropSwap. Every ticket purchased on PropSwap can be resold at any time, so your bet doesn't need to win in order to make money. It just needs to improve. Thousands of bettors across the country are shopping for tickets on PropSwap every day. Get started today by going to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. PropSwap is where America buys and sells sports bets. All right, any other news or anything we should cover before we get into this here card here, Dan? Obviously, the huge news is Leanna Jujoa is gone, right? Obviously, that's the big news.
I mean, we pretty much said that we thought she might be, or you said she might be. I thought they'd give her another chance based on the fact that she's
missing weight didn't help.
Yeah, missing weight probably hurt. So, I think we're good.
I don't think there hasn't been any. I guess most of the champs probably already have stuff coming down the pipe. Do you say down the pipe or down the pike, Dan?
I've said down the pike.
Yes,
turnpike, right?
Because
it's coming towards you. Not that things don't go down pipes too, but I think they go down pikes in that case.
Yes, we don't have turnpikes up here though. Do you know that? We don't have freeways either. They're highways, Dan. Highways.
Well, we have highways too. We have 85 different things we call places where you drive cars fast.
that reminds me of The Simpsons, which we haven't talked about for a while. You remember what? Who was it? It was Mo. Remember what Mo calls a garage?
Oh shit! This is good too.
It was when they were playing poker. It was the Can't Fit Gene episode, I believe. Garage. Listen to this guy with his garage. Is what Mo said in his voice. He goes, "It's a car hole." I think it's a car hole.
He calls it a car hole.
I think so. Yes. All right. The event we're going to talk about, since there's no other news, other than everyone making fun of Conor McGregor looking like a maniac walking in front of the TV watching Max Holloway. I take it you saw that video of him stalking back and forth.
I didn't find it as cringy as most people did. At this point in time, he's punched an old man in a bar, a DJ, Machine Gun Kelly. So, like, if he wants to stay home, like, I feel like we should do everything we can to promote that.
That is true. That is true. Like, looks like a happy household, let me tell you.
Yeah, worst thing there is that, like, he might have to buy a new TV, and it didn't even seem like all that big or expensive of one. So.
No, that's the thing. I know. He seemed like he was slumming it there a bit.
Lawsuit from Machine Gun Kelly is probably a lot worse than that. So, I don't mind it so much. Like, everybody's been trying to sell fights in their own way. I prefer that to anything Henry Cejudo has ever done to sell a fight, including getting potential opponents' faces printed on throw pillows. So
it's so great that he retired and they're just like, okay. Like, I feel like he didn't really want to retire either.
That's one of my favorite things of all time. Yep. It's like, he ends that fight and he's like, yeah, I don't think this is for me. I'm going to step away. And you could tell on the look on his face, he was like, this is going to earn me so much money.
Yep.
They were just
how many years ago was that?
Yeah, and now he just tries to be like, you know, Dana, if you just give me that fight with Alex Volkanovski, I'll come back. And you know, Dana's like, I'm not even answering that call. Like, he knows. He knows what he did.
we are good without you. Yeah, I like when people get their bluffs called, and it's been years and years. He's still on the sidelines. So.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. I'm pro fighter getting better pay, but like that's not the way to do it. That's like bluff that you're gonna leave when you couldn't mean less to the UFC. Like, I think he thought he had two titles, he was instantly Conor McGregor.
They let Conor leave for ages. They let John Jones leave for ages.
Right? The machine keeps rolling.
And they I have a nice segue here. They let Miesha Tate leave for ages, right? And she's back.
Yeah, I don't know that they let her leave. I think that was a real retirement.
No, it wasn't. She had to go work for the biggest promotion in the world. She helped make ONE FC the largest promotion in the world. But she's back in the UFC. She's slumming it and come back to the UFC. She will be headlining a card for the first time after making her comeback fight a few months back and after just getting over COVID. That doesn't really seem to be an issue, though, because I guess every fighter is getting over COVID at this point, right? We haven't really noticed anyone really compromised in a fight with it at all. Even like Chimaev, who supposedly was like close to death, did not look any worse for the wear from it.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, unless there's some out there that we don't know, because there are some undisclosed. So there might be some in there.
No,
maybe that's what I'm blaming my next bad pick on.
Perhaps. The reason I'm bringing it up is, like, when I do I actually do research for the podcast. I don't just have all these stats in my head like Dan does. But I contemplate whether mentioning someone's coming off COVID or not, because it doesn't really seem to – I don't have the stats. I didn't crunch the numbers, but it doesn't really seem to have made much of a difference in cage, at least. So, but regardless, I've mentioned it now. Reason I mention it is because this fight, Ketlin Vieira versus Miesha Tate, was supposed to take place – at Aspenladd versus Norma Dumont back at October 16th, but Tate tested positive, so it's been bumped up to here, and now they get to main event, so it all worked out well for them. This will be going down, as per usual, from the UFC Apex in Enterprise, Nevada. We've learned that it's not technically Las Vegas, it's from Enterprise, Nevada. Seeing if there's anything, but we have a lot of late replacements, fairly late replacements. We've lived in the past less than a month, which is what I consider late replacement. I'm just seeing if we had any fights outright. We have Malcolm Gordon, Denny's Bondar, which has been bumped ahead down the line, but I don't think anyone's crying too much about that. Even Dan isn't crying too much about that. Augusto Sakai, Tai Tuivasa would have been nice to actually just put on this card, because it's a little thin, but that's been scrapped and isn't taking place until the next pay-per-view next month, so... it's not I like the card. There's a lot of good matchups and fighters I'm interested in seeing, but it's not a star packed, star studded card by any means. I rank the cards over my MMA site, MMA-manifesto.com, on the fight card, a page for each card, and this one did not fare very well because it doesn't have a lot of super high ranked fighters in it, let alone in the main event. The main event fighters aren't super ranked because Tate's been out forever. So enough wasting time. Let's actually get down to things. How did you find this event to handicap?
Pretty damn tough. Every fight seems to be like, I mean, there's a couple that are like -125 to +105, +110 to -130, -115, -105. Like, just looking up and down best fight odds now, there are so many like razor close fights, and I think you know they're as tough to pick as that suggests. Even some of the ones I feel more comfortable about are still only like, you know, -160 and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, that's good. We can make some money. I think the biggest, or at least when I did the research yesterday, the biggest odds we had was -425 for fighters. So usually you see, like even like last week's main event, for instance, was -700 for Max Holloway. So it's a pretty good booked card that way. I was actually flying through, like my picks wasn't really any question marks through basically through all of the main card, and then got a little sticky in the prelims with some of my choices. Still a few up in the air, but whatever Dan takes, I will take the opposite, and then smart bettors know what side to take, right?
Yeah, I think that's your goal, right? Like on the prelims, you never just trail what I do.
No, never just trail. Well, actually, fine. You want me to make all the prelim picks first? I will, Dan. If you want to tell me, I will do it.
I actually think that would be a fun game. Yeah,
okay.
We haven't ever done that before. That's a fun game.
I feel bad giving my picks beforehand, but if you want me to give them before you, I'm quite all right with that. Let's start.
Let's do it, Dan. Let's do it. Let's make this the first time ever. I'll do the main card though.
Okay.
I'll go first on the main card.
All right, that's fine. Because now that Dan knows he has no chance of catching me in the money lead or in the just the overall wins and losses lead, now he's got to come up with other reasons why he's losing. Like I'm cheating. If I'm trailing you though, I shouldn't be ahead of you. That's the thing, Dan. I know where not to trail you, right? I know when to hold him, when to fold him, when to walk away from Dan.
Sometimes you do. Sometimes you walk away from like a +425 underdog that hits. So
who's that again?
Gerald Muirchert III, my friend.
Go, he's taken over for who?
He took over for Montserrat Ruiz, who
there
was my previous darling. I feel like we could find another one. We can find another darling at some point in time.
Well, I thought your parlay was going to take over that you hit the other week. Plus
1300, oh, the plus 1300 is why all the fans like me better than you anyway.
Yeah, it's not as fun to say as Gerald Muirchert III is much funner, more fun to say than +1300. So let's start with women's strawweight, shall we? Luana Pinheiro versus Sam Hughes. If I mispronounce anything, linguists, make sure you let me know, okay?
Seems like you got that one right. Luana Pinheiro and Sam Hughes.
You know Sam Hughes' nickname? She's got one of those nicknames
that we
enjoy.
It's the Sam Page.
The Sam Page. That's one of our favorite nicknames. And Pinheiro's is the Pin Page. Did you know that?
It's definitely not the Pin Page. I don't know if she has one, but it took me a second. I was like, wait a second. There's no way it's the Pin Page.
Her nickname is blank. Is her name actually Pinheiro? Is that what they're going to say on the podcast? Telecast?
Yeah, I think it's Pinheiro. Yeah.
Did they actually say the R? They don't say hey ho?
No. Not that deep in a word, I don't think. And you almost have to like
with someone.
I think you almost have to roll it deep in the work too.
It was my favorite, Marina Hot Heeg has. They do it all the way through that one for some reason.
Yeah, but that's not as late in the word as Pinheiro is.
If you if listeners are getting frustrated by this, you're not going to like what the podcast next week when we have no events to talk about, because
you're also going to hate this next fight when we talk about that pronunciation.
Oh yeah, that's true. All right, let's do it. Sam Page, Sam Hughes, 5-3, one knockout, 3 submissions. She is 0-2 in the UFC. She's only won one of her last 4 fights. She used to fight at bantamweight. She used to fight at flyweight. This one is down at strawweight. She's taking this on short notice. She took at least one of her other UFC fights short notice, right? Her debut maybe was short notice?
Yeah, she fought Tisha Torres on short notice.
Oh, that's an easy win then for her, right? No problem. You can beat Tisha Torres short notice. let me see what else I can tell you. So not surprisingly, she will be bigger of the two since she's fought 2 weight classes up. She's 3 inches taller, 2 inches of reach, +310. She's the biggest dog on this card. So this is a very, very well put together fight card for, at least on paper, competitive wise. All right. Pin Page is 9-1, 2 knockouts, 5 submissions, never been finished in a fight. 1-0 in the UFC. She won via disqualification where Ronda Marcos, RIP, from the UFC, my fellow Canadian, got fired, but she lost via illegal upkick. So Pinheiro won. Pinheiro was dominating that fight, though, right, up to that point?
Yeah, she had landed like 5 or 6 takedowns at that point.
Right. Okay. She also was 1-0 in Contender Series. She's won 7 straight fights. All of her wins outside of the disqualification have been finishes. So she's six straight finishes and then disqualification. She's got striking stats in her favor. Plus, she's 1.5 times more active striking. Grappling stats in her favor, -425. If you want to learn more about her, MMA-manifesto.com. There's a very good article on her written by a very handsome associate host who turned two in 1991. Obviously, this is an easy pick. Pin Page is the obvious pick here, right?
Yeah, I think so. And in addition to that, it's just a shame we're talking about this fight now, because if you go back to when this fight was first posted, in some books, Sam Hughes was as small as a plus, I think I saw her at plus 165 in one sports book. She originally was listed at. Yeah, and like, yeah, it was
short notice and everything. Wow.
It was plus 160 to start, and she's blown up as a huge dog, and rightfully so. Pinheiro is so much better of a fighter, and Hughes had a whole bunch of trouble with Loma Lugbume taking her down. She, foot swept her, like five times. And don't get me wrong, Loma Lugbume, who we'll talk about later on the fight card, is good at foot sweeps because she's a Thai-style boxer. But, if you're having trouble with a Thai fighter taking you down and you're about to fight a judo black belt, that's never gonna go well for you. So, yeah, I got Pinheiro here. She is also a hell of a finisher, which is worth noting. Hughes is tough as hell, but, it's worth thinking about that. You might hear a little bit more later on when we hit the props.
Oh, Dan's always good at teasing all you. Just to reiterate what Dan was saying, the line, 56% in the line has moved over to Pinheiro since opening. So, yeah, too bad. You can get in on that earlier. Plus, as long-term listeners know, short notice fighters do not fare well over the past year. Like I said earlier, short notice, considering less than a month or a month. Yeah, less than a month. Are only winning 39% of the time, plus the Sam Page is a bit overmatched here, too. So that's probably the end of Sam Page in the UFC, unfortunately. But that's the way the cookie crumbles. So Pinheiro is the pick.
I think her problem is she just got to the UFC before she belonged there. She got to the UFC after five fights.
She was still losing. She was still losing at regionals and stuff.
Yeah, she lost to Vanessa Demopoulos, who's in the UFC and doesn't belong in the UFC. And also, she's only been a pro since February of 2019. So she's been a pro for about 3 years. And has fought, Vanessa Demopoulos is, maybe the only name you would ever have heard out of the people she fought. And she was pretty bad as a amateur, too. She was, 3-3-1, although one of those losses was to Lupita Godinez. So not really a terrible loss, but, she just got to the UFC too fast.
Hopefully she doesn't listen to this and Sam Page is all over us, right, Dan?
I don't know what that would look like, but I don't think I'd like it either.
I don't want to find out. Nope, don't want to find out. All right. Featherweights, Sean Soriano versus Shyalan. Actually, if you want to be really lazy, you can call him Shyalan, because that's where I see a lot of places just calling him his first name. They're breaking it into two, it's his first and last name. But his real name is Shyalan Nurdanbeki. I remember doing him last time. He's a Wolverine.
I think you got that right, too, Bob. Nurdanbeki.
As close as I'm going to. As close as a Canadian's going to get a difficult Chinese name. He's a Wolverine. I can say that, Wolverine. Soriano. Now, this was one of the fights where I'm like, do I really have to pick a winner here? We're going through the resumes. Do I really have to pick someone who's going to win this fight? Can this be a double knockout or something? Maybe you've heard Herb Dean's reference. Maybe this could be some kind of double knockout situation. So, all right, Wolverine. Nurdanbeki, 19-7, 9 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's been subbed 4 times in his career, so that seems to be the Achilles heel here. He's 0-1 in the UFC, used to fight up a weight class at lightweight. He's 5 years younger, grappling stats in his favor, plus 220. Is he Chinese Performance Institute person thingy, Dan?
I can't remember if he is or not. Let me double check. Yeah, he fought for WLF a bunch of times, not the last couple of fights before he got to the UFC. Oh, okay. So, maybe not. He's listed as Long Yun MMA Gym, which I don't believe is associated with it. So I don't know necessarily. His profile doesn't necessarily fit it.
So I'm stereotyping is what you're saying, Dan?
Stereotyping, that a Chinese guy goes to the Chinese Performance Institute? I think that's maybe a safe stereotype.
Okay. Canadians like hockey? What? all right, Sean Soriano. 14-7, 7 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been subbed 5 times in his career. Hey, maybe we'll get a double submission. That would be good, right? Both guys pass out at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, that would
happens in wrestling, right?
It'd be pretty special.
It would be. He is 0-4 in the UFC over 2 stints. He lost via submission his last fight. How did he get back in? Was he a short notice replacement last?
He was a short notice, but he had a really good record on the regional scene to get him back into. He beat Saul Almeida, who's like a pretty highly touted Northeastern prospect who had been around for a bunch of times, fought in Bellator. He also beat Nod Lahat at UAE Warriors, which is he's a guy who was in the UFC for a short period of time. Then Chris Dos Anjos was supposed to fight Yoel Alvarez, who backed out of a fight.
Oh. He has a soft spot in our heart for him now, right?
We sure do. Plus 200. He is right behind the Montserrat Ruiz level.
He is. All right, Soriano. That's how he got back. Dan always has the back story, or he lies very quickly and no one's called him on it. One or the other. He used to fight up a weight class at lightweight, if I hadn't said that. Actually, that's Nurdambiki I'm looking at. Yes, both of them, actually. Soriano used to fight at lightweight, too. Inch taller. 1-inch reach, striking stats in his favor, 3 times more active a striker, -290. I guess I'll take Soriano, but like I said, this is a fight I really don't want to take either guy.
I'm taking Shailan.
I just want to say the name, that's why.
Shailan Nurdembike. So first of all, I'm taking him on a couple of premises, because first of all, if I felt 50-50 like you do, and one of them is going to give me that kind of return, I'm definitely going with the person giving me the +245. Whereas Soriano, you know, I don't, he's 0-4, and 3 of his losses have come by submission. He's up against a guy with good takedowns. Like Shailan didn't look amazing against Josh Kolobow. I'm not, like, getting excited about watching him fight, but he did score 2 takedowns early in the fight and kind of got tired towards the end of the Josh Kolobow fight, which, to be fair, Josh Kolobow keeps a good pace. But Sean Soriano's a guy who gets subbed all the time. Like, he has never had a UFC fight where he didn't get taken down 3 times, which is bad, especially against the guy who shot 12 takedowns in his last fight. So, yeah, I'm going to take the guy with the takedowns and the submission skills to submit the guy who likes to get submitted.
All right, now I don't feel so hot about it, but usually it doesn't matter. I usually win these things. you're one of those, if in doubt, go. You're a true gambler. You're, if in doubt, you go with the plus money. I'm, if in doubt, okay, I'll take the odds say the favorite is the favorite for reasons, so I'll take the favorite. But you're a true degen, Dan. You always, I notice, seem to go to the dog if you don't know who to pick.
I'm looking for the edge.
He is looking for the edge. Big money, big money. All right. That pick could just be Superfan Jong drilling into my head that I shouldn't pick any more Chinese fighters. it could be a racist pick on my behalf. I don't know. Hopefully not. Well, I guess we'll find out next.
If Superfan Jong is getting subliminally in your head, we might have to reevaluate
could be a problem.
The Slack channel.
I'm going to eat lots of good food if he's getting in my head, though. He knows where to eat. All right. We'll see if I like Chinese fighters or not, because we got one coming up, right? Flyweights. Cody Gurdon versus Quiling Aori, I believe we were talking about his problematic nickname before, right? The Mongolian murderer, but he's not Mongolian.
We couldn't confirm whether or not he was Mongolian, so yeah, that might be a problematic thing. I don't know.
if he is Mongolian, then okay, fine. He's just a murderer, right? But if
fine.
Yeah. If he's not Mongolian, then he's like committing genocide, which we do not stand for on this podcast. Murder, that's fine. Genocide, no. That's where you put our foot down, right?
Sure. Yep. I'll allow it.
We will put our foot down on genocide. All right. The Mongolian murderer, Aori, 18-8, 5 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been subbed himself 3 times. He's 0-1 in the UFC. He used to fight up weight class at bantamweight. 2 inches of reach, 2 years younger, 2.5 times more active striker. But we're talking 1 fight for him and only 2 for Durden in the UFC cage that we got stats for, +128. Durden, Mr. No Nickname, 11-3-1, 5 knockouts, 5 submissions, a very well-rounded finisher there. He's been subbed himself twice. He's 0-1-1 in the UFC. He lost via submission his last fight. He also used to fight up at bantamweight. He's a VF champ. I didn't write Valor Fights, maybe? Is that what VF is?
Yeah, it's probably Valor Fights because he's from that area, too.
All right, mine. Dan even knows what area these regional promotions are.
Valor Fights is out of like Tennessee and stuff like that.
There you go.
That general Midwestern southerny area.
Midwestern southerny. Spoken like a, hopefully you're a geography teacher in your other life, Dan. But, he's minus 160. I'm going plus money here. I'll take Arari. Both another one of the fights where I don't really want to take either guy, but I like Arari's be more active striking. I like his slightly larger wingspan. I think I went over the resumes, and his resume was, you know, the people he's fought are good enough. So, yeah, I'll go Arari on here and try to get plus 128.
And I'm going to differ with you again. I'm going to take Cody Durden. Excellent. I think Durden, while he lost that last fight by flying triangle choke, he was looking really good in that fight. He won pretty much every moment of that fight against Jimmy Flick, who I was big on Jimmy Flick. And he outboxed Jimmy Flick. He out-wrestled Jimmy Flick. He had Jimmy Flick turtled up for a little bit and was landing punches. Then Jimmy Flick threw a stupid-looking kick, and he caught it. And then Jimmy Flick jumped into a triangle and finished that. So, I mean, like, it's a very weird loss. And before that, he drew with Chris Gutierrez on short notice, who – I got a lot of respect for Chris Gutierrez. I think he's phenomenal. So I'm really high on the competition Cody Durden's fought, and I think he's probably a better wrestler than Kilangiori here too. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Cody Durden. I'm going to take my second difference from you here.
Oh, boy. I'm not feeling so – I should feel good. I don't know why I'm still not confident, Dan. I'm at 60% for the year, okay? I just sound like I don't know what I'm talking about, but I know what I'm talking about. And if I was just trailing you, I would be at 55% like you are, okay? I'm telling myself
you,
this. This is
you just partially this. Trail me. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's true. let's tell you about a couple other sponsors here. Better Fantasy. Better Fantasy is a new free-to-play app that lets you sync your fantasy football league and bet on the matchups. You can cash out for gift cards when your bets hit and even help raise money for charity along the way. Brand is a brand-new company looking to grow their early adopter community. Slick app and fun to use. One of the reasons we love it is that they also offer prop betting. So if you're in a state that hasn't legalized gambling yet, you can get on some prop bets on Bettor Fantasy. Totally free to play. Download today for iPhone or Android. Check them out. BettorFantasy/SGPN. That's BETTOR fantasy.com/SGPN. Also, have you heard about Prize Picks? Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. I love this, and I know you will too. PricePicks has the best NBA DFS prop game on the market. PricePicks offers more NBA props than any other DFS prop operator and offers all the superstar players as well as bench players, only recording a handful of minutes each game. PricePicks offers any prop you can think of, from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. If you're talking basketball, obviously, that's all basketball stats. All of your users that deposit and use your promo code will receive 100% instant deposits. So all of you listeners that use our promo code, which would be, of course, SGP, 100% instant deposit match up to $100 if you use SGP. How it works is you pick 2 to 5 players and an over under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. It's just you versus the projected numbers. Prize Picks allows mixed sport entries. You can take the over on LeBron combined with the under on Mahomes in the same entry. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. So don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com and use promo code SGP. Get your 100% instant deposit match up to $100, or go to your app store and download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. All right. Speaking of NBA DFS, make sure you check out the sportsgamblingpodcast.com site tomorrow. Dan will have his DFS picks for the Thursday night slate. I haven't been following up on your picks. How have your picks been doing so far this season, Dan?
So last week was a little sour. I'm trying to remember who it was that, like, sunk my lineup hard. It could have been Domantas Sabonis, went on, like, a really bad run. And I'm a sucker for a Gonzaga graduate. So
yep.
I think he cost me there. But the week before I hit. So, you know, we're at about 500 so far in the last
There you go. That's all you can ask. Gambling is a dice throw. There you go, 50-50. All right, let's move on. Lightweights. Ferris Zayam versus Terrence McKinney. McKinney's T-Rex, and Zayam is the Smile Killer, which is an underrated nickname, I think.
I think both of them are great.
They are. Very good. Very good. All right, let's start with Zayam, Smile Killer. 12-3, 5 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been subbed twice, so 2 out of 3 losses are via submission. He's 2-1 in the UFC. He's won 2 straight fights after dropping his debut. He's the HIT champ, whatever HIT is. I can't remember. I think it might just be HIT. He's the LFC champ, whatever that is. I can't remember. Do you know LFC?
I don't. No, not that one.
We'll say, no, Legacy something else. I was going to say Legacy. Maybe it's Legacy.
There's probably more than one Legacy.
Yeah, exactly. All right, this is at lightweight, but he has fought at welterweight. He has fought at middleweight. He's 3 inches taller, 2 inches of reach, 3 years younger, the more active striker, minus 105. T-Rex, who has burst onto the UFC scene. How many fights did you say he's fought in 2021? This is fight five?
This is the fifth fight in 2021, and he's been in the cage less than 2 minutes.
Right. He T-Rex opponents. He's 11-3 with 5 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's been knocked out himself twice, 2 out of 3 losses via knockout. Is he the guy that was KO'd by a police taser too back in the day? Is he the guy with that video?
I'm not sure. Possibly. He nearly died of a drug overdose at one point.
Yeah, that was him then.
Turned his life around. Yeah.
Yes. There's a video of cops having to tase him a bunch of times. To take him down, but he's turned things around now and he's become a fan favorite. One, because he won via knockout in his UFC debut. He took that on short notice, right? Did he not?
Yes, he took that on short notice because Matt Frivola was supposed to fight, I believe, whoever I interviewed that week.
There you go, Top Turtle curse, which we've decided doesn't exist anymore. It did exist back then, so... He was 0-1.
It was Frank Camacho. That's when he got in the car accident.
Yes. There you go. That's the one that you put in the car accident. Right. I remember now. He lost in the Contender Series. He lost to someone good, though. He lost to the gentleman who just fought last week.
John Woodson.
Yes, exactly. The gentleman that we won money on. He's won 4 straight fights. He's the FSF champ. Do you know FSF?
SFS. No, I don't think so.
I think the S is probably – no. I think one of the S is probably fight. You would say fighting federation?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Striking stats in his favor, grappling stats in his favor, but we're talking. He's had two fights inside the octagon technically, so fairly small sample size. -115. So this is one of those pick-ems or close to pick-ems on the board. I'll take T-Rex at -115, please. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with T-Rex too. It's really tough for me. The thing that bothers me the most about this pick is the reach that Faris Zaim is going to have.
Yep.
Because T-Rex has got that power. You know, like, if you look back at his record, you're right, he did lose to Sean Woodson. That was back at 145 pounds. The only 4 fights he has on his record that are at 55 are all this year. They're all the big knockouts that he's had, you know, just seconds or minutes into the first round. So, like, since going up, he's, like, found extra power. He's clean with his boxing, all that kind of stuff. But you do have to worry about, like, you know, Matt Frivola has got a wildly smaller reach than Faris Zaim and is trying to do a very different thing, whereas Zaim likes to stick and move. So I am going with McKinney here. I don't feel super good about it, but I do think he just needs to land one. So I'm going to give him a chance to land that one.
Yep. Agreed. Hopefully it's, you know, a brawl, and he can land that one. Women's strawweight, Luma Lukbunmi versus, I think, Lupi's a favorite of her podcast, isn't she? Lupi Godinez, I think she can call her podcast favorite.
Yeah, she is on the she's on the Top Turtle MMA podcast this week alongside of Terrence McKinney.
There you go. I'm talking about our podcast, Dan, but fine. She's a friend of that podcast, too. Lupi is back again. She's Terrence McKinney, very similar to Terrence McKinney, just taking as many fights as she can get. Luma Lukbunmi actually is her nickname. She's got a bunch of other names, Thai names that the linguist can say, but I don't feel like it. So, because she goes by Luma Lukbunmi, so we'll just stick with that. She's 6-2 with 1 knockout on her career. 3-1 in the UFC. She won 2 straight fights. She also was 2-0 in Invicta before this. She is a Muay Thai champion, 3 years younger than Godinez. 2.5 times more active striking, plus 120. Lupita Lupi Godinez. I also have written down here that she's kind of Canadian. I think she's officially, she moved to Canada when she was 14, I believe I read, from Mexico out to Vancouver. So, we'll say she's Canadian. She is 6-2 with 1 knockout, 1 submission. She's never been finished in a fight. 1-2 in the UFC. She's gone loss, win, loss. Lost her last fight. She fought up at flyweight. Was that last fight she was flyweight? I think it was.
Yeah, because it was on 7 days notice.
Yes. Weren't 2 of her 3 fights? Her debut was short notice too, right?
Who did she fight in the debut again? I have to think about who she fought in her debut again. Oh, yeah, the Jessica Penne one was on short notice. Yep.
Yep, she is one of those people, take a fight whenever, wherever. All right, so she's got loss, win, loss. What else can I tell you about her? She fought up a weight class, switch of that. She was the LFA champ. We know that league. The BTC champ, you know BTC?
Yeah, it's the one in Canada. They've got Sarah Kaufman fighting this weekend in that organization.
Yes. All right. Inch taller than Luke Boomy. Grappling stats in her favor. She's taking this fight on short notice once again. -154. I will go against my short notice stats, and I will take Loopy in this to grapple her way to victory here. Hopefully, last fight it was the size that was the issue. This should not be an issue in this fight. Now she's back down at strawweight.
So I'm going to debate you a little bit on that one because I am going to take Loma Luke Boomy, and I'm going to say I do think some of it was size. I also think some of it was facing somebody who has that Thai style and is really good in a clinch, because that's where Luana Carolina was able to, like, punish her, right? Like, when she went in for takedowns, she knows her way around the clinch and could, like, land knees to the body and do what she needed to there. And I think Loma Luke Boomy fits that same profile of, like, somebody who, when you go to take her down, she is good in the clinch. She's good at preventing the takedowns. She's got her own foot sweeps, which she's actually really good at too, as we talked a little bit about with against Sam Hughes, the Sandpage. So I do think, like, this fight will completely reveal itself in 10 seconds. Like, this pick of Loma Luke Boomy will be either, like, a genius pick 10 seconds into the fight or a really dumb one 10 seconds into the fight, because it's pretty much going to come down to, was Lupita Godinez's last loss because of size or because of Thai style striking and clinch work? And, like, if it's clinch work, then she's going to lose this fight to Loma Luke Boomy. Yep. And if it's due to size, she's probably going to win this fight against Loma Luke Boomy. So I'm going to say I think it might be a stylistic issue, and I'll take the plus money.
All right. She will be Godinez's filling in for Cheyenne Bays, in case you're wondering. But Bays has got another fight already lined up coming up. So, all right. Not like I'm not feeling real confident here, Dan. I should, but you sound so much smarter. You sound so much smarter than I do.
This is why I got all the fans hitting me up. It's because I got the smart sounds. Yeah, I sound good.
but the stats say otherwise. But anyhow, let's move on. Lightweights again, I think. Yes, Rafa Garcia. Nathan Levy. Levy is making his debut. Can you tell us any, before I go through all the stats, anything we should know about Levy? He's the only Israeli fighter in the UFC, I believe, currently. But is there anything betting-wise we should know about him before I break it down?
He was supposed to fight back in April. They had him originally booked with Austin Hubbard, which gives you a little bit of insight to what they thought he was, like how good he was. Yeah. He fought his entire pro career in LFA before fighting on the Contender Series. So, you can, while, like, not the best names in LFA, you can assure that there are some, like, pretty good dudes in there.
Yep. Very true. He needs a nickname, though. He has no nickname. Garcia's gifted for a nickname. All right. Let's start with the newcomer, Levy, first. 6-0, 3 submission wins. This will be his debut. He was 1-0 in the Contender Series, 1 via submission. Why didn't he get a contract, Dan?
He did get a contract, I believe. He got and then he was supposed to make his debut, right, and it fell through because I think he got hurt.
Yes, that was last season, right. Okay. 2 inches of height, 1 inch of reach. Striking and grappling stats in his favor, but we're talking one fight sample size for him. -109, this is another close to a pick-em on the boards. Gifted Garcia, 11-2, 1 knockout, 7 submissions. Never been finished in a fight. 0-2 in the UFC. He was the Combate champion before the UFC. 3 years younger, 2.5 times more active striker. But like I said before, small sample size. -118. Another tough one to pick. I like Garcia's resume better over Levy's, so I will take Garcia. I have a feeling Dan's going opposite again.
Yeah, we're going to go opposite again. Man, this prelim card is going to be a lot of fun. So, yeah, I like Levy here. I like his ability to wrestle. Like, in his last couple of fights, he kind of reminds me of, and we're going to talk about a couple of these guys, including one next fight. He kind of reminds me of, like, the Daniel Gracie jiu-jitsu guys, where he's got really good top game wrestling and good positioning, but he's also, like, always looking for rear naked chokes and always looking for like arm triangle chokes. He likes like high percentage submissions like that, that like hold your opponent down. And Rafa Garcia, like, I mean, like he committed to trying to wrestle Chris Grootsmacher in his last fight. He got a bunch of takedowns, but like no control time. He's really hittable, which we've kind of seen. He just kind of moves forward crazily. So, yeah, like I think his resume is better. I will give him that, and he's super tough. But he has lost to Chris Grootsmacher and Nasrat Haqparast, which I think Levy has got kind of a similar style that he can replicate from those two.
Oh boy, one of us is in trouble, Dan. Hopefully it's you. All right. I forgot to tell you.
Either that or we're both super mediocre.
That's true. We may just be flopping back and forth with picks here. I forgot to tell you, both these cards are, the main card and the prelims are on ESPN Plus. I usually like to give you all the start times and all that stuff. Now that we're almost through the prelims, maybe I will give you that now. If I can actually load it up and remember.
2 p.m., start, I believe.
2 p.m. is the prelims?
Yeah.
Okay, and then the main card's what? Yeah, okay, and then the main card's 4, I think. Does that sound right?
Yeah, probably 4 or 5.
Maybe 5.
I'm not sure exactly.
Let's see. I'm looking. I think we do. I'm going to the MMA Manifesto. I'm going to my own website to see what I wrote because I already forgot the start times for these cards. But like I said, they're both on ESPN Plus. They're actually
prelims are up here. Prelims are now on at 3, main card at 6. I think they were pushed due to cancellation.
3 Eastern for the prelims, ESPN Plus, 6 Eastern for the main card, ESPN Plus also. Okay, mention that because we are at our prelim main event, featherweight Tucker Lutz versus Pat Sabatini. Lutz is top gun. He is 12-1, 6 knockouts, 2 submissions, 1-0 in the UFC, 2-0 in the Contender Series. Why did it take him 2 shots at it, Dan?
Because he's a boring wrestler type and Dana White hates that shit.
That's true. So it took him 12 straight wins, no, actually 11 straight wins to get into the UFC. Now it's 12 straight wins. He was the Shogun Fighting Federation or something champion. Shogun something champion. He used to fight up at lightweight. He's taking this on short notice. 2 inches of reach, 4 years younger, 3 times more active striker. Better grappler stat-wise, plus 115. Sabatini, 15-3, 2 knockouts, 10 submissions, 2-0 in the UFC. He won via submission his last fight. He's won 4 straight fights. CFFC champ, we know that league, minus 150. I think I'm going to go against you again here, Dan. I have a feeling what you're picking.
Yeah, I'm an open book.
You're an open book. I'm taking Tucker Lutz.
Yeah, I'm going to take Pat Sabatini. I'm going to take Pat Sabatini, and it's not necessarily because I'm a CFFC guy. It's because I'm a Henzo Gracie Philly guy. Team Daniel Gracie right now is one of my favorite teams between Sabatini and Petrosky and Sean Brady, who we'll talk about later on, and Jeremiah Wells. They're building a hell of a camp down there. I think Sabatini here, the brilliant part of this is, like, I think he's probably a better wrestler than Tucker Lutz. If he's not a better wrestler than Tucker Lutz, Tucker Lutz is going to have to watch out for submissions as he wrestles. And I think Sabatini's got the advantage on the feet. So, like, he's going to pop him a couple of times on the feet. Lutz is going to take a bad shot. He's probably going to get guillotined or reversed or something like that. And I see Sabatini finishing him here. Remember, Pat Sabatini is the guy who submitted Jamal Emmers with a heel hook in his debut. Like, you got to be high on his submission skills.
Now, notice, Dan, I have stats to back my pick. Dan is just going with his imagination here, telling you exactly what's going to happen and how it's going to happen. So
imagination or analysis? Which
all imagination. I'll take the guy who's 3 times more active striking, has a longer reach, and is stat-wise a better grappler. So I will gladly take that in 12 straight wins. So there you go.
I mean, you can take that, but sometimes when we say that somebody's a better grappler and he's grappled only Kevin Aguilar and Sherrard Blackledge on those statistics, I have less legitimacy in that than Pat Sabatini going toe to toe with Jamal Emmers and submitting him.
That's true. This is gonna be a fun prelims.
Did we pick 2 the same?
I think so. 2 out of what? 7, I think?
We both took Terrence McKinney, right? And we both took Luana Pinheiro.
Yes. Oh, boy.
That's it.
this could be your chance, Dan, to catch up.
We're going to have to put a poll up on the SGPN Twitter account, and people can say if they're Team Gumby or Team Fox on the prelims.
All right. That's a good idea. That is a good idea. You know what's a good idea? Use a SoBet. Since when has sports betting become so rigid? Sports betting is meant to be social. When I picture betting, I picture bootleggers with mustaches tossing bets around in a speakeasy. SoBet is taking the social lineage of betting and putting a modern twist on it by providing a modern platform. SoBet is changing the game with their new product. Head over to SoBet.io and create an account to see for yourself. Through their fully functioning and free web application, you can access a demo of their app, which will launch next fall. The app includes consensus lines from Vegas, a feed of what other people are betting on, and the ability to send friendly wagers to anyone you know via text, QR codes, and links, among other methods. No money is transacted on the app, and it is purely competitive. Next time you're with your friends watching sports, turn the dial up a notch. Go to SoBet.io and see who can hit the most ridiculous bets. Users have the ability to place bets off Vegas odds or generate a bet by changing any metric they want, as long as somebody is on the other side to accept. Let's get back to the roots of betting with SoBet. Go to SoBet.io, that's SoBet, S-O-B-E-T.io, today to join the revolution. And if you have not joined our revolution yet, make sure you download the SGPN app. We're now live in the App Store and Google Play Store. We give easy access to all our picks and podcasts. And don't forget to toss us an app review, please, and thank you. Make sure you grab the app if you haven't already. All right, main card time. We decided it was 6 p.m. Eastern. It's going to start on ESPN+. Plus. The first fight, bantamweights, Davy Grant versus Adrian Yanez. Dangerous Davy Grant against no nickname Yanez. So dangerous Davy Grant, 13-5. Three knockouts, eight submissions. He's been subbed himself four times, so four out of his five losses have come via submission. He's 4-4 in the UFC. He's won three of his last four fights. He won three straight and then lost his last fight. His last two wins are via knockout. He's 1-0 on the Ultimate Fighter. He was the SNA champ. Do you know SNA, Dan?
I don't in this context. No.
Neither do I. He's an inch taller. Striking and grappling stats in his favor, plus 230. Yanez, 14-3, nine knockouts, two submissions, never been finished in a fight. 3-0 in the UFC, all of them have come via TKO or KO, all of those wins. He was 1-0 in the Contender Series. He's won seven straight fights, four straight via knockout or TKO, technical knockout, and six of his last seven wins have come via TKO or KO. He was 1-0 in Bellator. He used to fight at featherweight. This is the lightweight, right? Bantamweight. Okay. He used to fight upper weight class at featherweight. He's got an inch of reach, 8 years younger, 1.5 times more active striker of the two men, minus 313. Now Dan gets to shine and pick first this time.
Yeah, I'm going to take Adrian Yanez. And I'm saying this as a guy who is a huge Davy Grant fan. I love watching that dude fight. I love how tough he was. He broke his jaw in that Martin Day fight and came back and won by knockout when everybody was just calling him a submission specialist. Like, impressive as hell. I think in this fight, the problem is he's just up against a guy who's so much more technical than him on the feet and has good takedown defense. Like, I don't think Yanez is going to wind up on the mat with him here. And really, that's the only place I see Davy Grant winning. So, I don't like Davy Grant's chances in this one. I'm going to go with Yanez.
Yanez is my pick, too, and I'm not trailing him. I'm not trailing Dan. I'm always taking, or tailing Dan for that matter. Always taking, if it's striker versus grappler, I will take the striker. Please and thank you.
Yeah. And Grant has got, like, a little bit of striking. Like, his striking is better than people give it credit for, but, like, he's what is he? Did you say he's 38? Like, he's not a young guy anymore.
Yeah, he's been around forever.
Yeah, so, I'm going to go with Yanez. Faster, going to be stronger on the feet.
All right. I didn't say how old he was, actually. He might be 38. He might be 35, for all I know. But Yanez is 8 years younger. I know that much. So, all right, moving on. It still says Wikipedia is not changing things. They're saying she's still Joanne Calderwood, but she's now officially Joanne Wood. Or we can call her Joanne Calderwood squared, perhaps. Joanne Calderwood Wood. She's fighting in a women's flyweight bout versus Talia Santos, who I don't like how her name's spelled. The I should be after the L, correct?
If it was Talia. It's Talia Santos.
It should be Tail Ah Santos. That's how it's spelled.
All right, yeah, all right.
Okay, all right. She has no nickname either, which is a problem. JoJo Wood is the nickname. It's JoJo. 15-6, 5 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been subbed 3 times in her career, excuse me, so half of her losses have come via submission. 7-6 in the UFC. She's gone. Loss, win, loss, win, loss over her last 5 fights. Last one being a loss. She's 1-1 in the Ultimate Fighter. She used to fight at strawweight, stop at flyweight. She was 4-0 in Invicta. She also was a pro kickboxer where she went 19-2 and was the champion. She's 1.5 times more active striker up the 2, plus 260. Santos, 18-1, 10 knockouts, 2 submissions. Never been finished in a fight. 3-1 in the UFC. She lost her debut and then won 3 straight. She was 1-0 in the Contender Series. She also used to fight up a weight class. She used to fight at bantamweight while Wood used to fight down at strawweight. She was the Aspera FC champ. She has 3 inches of reach over Wood, 8 years younger than her. Striking and grappling stats in her favor, minus 350. Go right ahead.
I'm going to take Tali Santos. I think, you know, like, everybody got really high on Andrea Lee last week in all that she was, like, doing in that fight. But, like, I think Talia Santos is what people think she is. She's, like, a really good striker. She's shown that she can, like, take it to the ground. I mean, she took Roxanne Modafari to the ground in a fight where he didn't think she was going to do that. She's gone toe-to-toe with Jillian Robertson, Molly McCann. All of that stuff gives me an infinite amount of respect for her. Now, she hasn't been super active, which is kind of a bummer. But, like, watching her piece up Roxanne Modafari like that, not that Joanne Wood is not a better striker, but I think she's going to piece up Joanne Wood here, and I also think she's probably going to take her down a bunch, too.
There you go. I am agreeing also. I forgot I didn't make my pick yet. Santos was my pick all along. Dan is not swaying me. I will take her, minus 350. Yeah, Woods kind of, ever since she took that fight, instead of taking the title fight, she took a fight on short notice, it's kind of been downhill for her since then.
Yeah. I don't know necessarily that she's been worse, but, like, she's faced some really tough competition. So
yes.
I'll give her a slight pass on that. I don't think it's, like, rattled her or something like that, but this is a bad matchup for her.
Yep. There seems to be a lot recently. So this would break her streak, though. Loss, win, loss, win, loss. So maybe we're making a mistake here. But anyhow, Santos is our pick for this one. Regardless, bantamweights, Hani Yaya versus Kyung Ho Kang. Kyung Ho Kang has 2 nicknames, Mr. Perfect and Typhoon. Maybe you can put them together. Maybe he's the Mr. Perfect Typhoon.
I've only heard Mr. Perfect. Typhoon is new.
Yeah. I saw that somewhere. Maybe it was Wikipedia. Maybe someone playing tricks on me. But this is actual pick'em fight on the board when I broke it down yesterday. Let's tell you about Mr. Perfect, the Mr. Perfect Typhoon first. He's 18-8 with 1 no contest. He's won 2 fights via knockout, 11 via submission. 6-2 with 1 no contest in the UFC. He's gone 3-0 over his last 3, and he's won 6 of his last 7 fights. However, he's been out since December of 2019. He's the Road FC champ, the Road FC champ. He used to fight at lightweight. He used to fight at featherweight, and now he's at bantamweight. He's got 3 inches height over Yaya, 6 inches of reach, 3 years younger, striking and active striking stats in his favor, minus 115. Hani Yaya, 27-10-1 with 1 no contest. He's won 21 fights via submission. 12-4-1 with 1 no contest in the UFC. He's gone 4-1-1 over his last 6. He won his last fight. He also was in WEC. WEC Never Die, where he was 4-3. He made his debut in the sport September of 2002. He has been around forever. He also was a BJJ champ. He also used to fight at lightweight and at featherweight, like minus 115 back for him also. So this is a pick'em. Who are you picking in the pick'em?
I'm going to go with Hani Yaya, both because I'm a WEC homer hard. And this is a really hard one to tell because Kyung Ho Kang should probably have a wrestling advantage, but I don't know necessarily that he's dumb enough to engage in wrestling with Hani Yaya. And I don't know that his takedown defense is good enough to avoid all the takedowns from Hani Yaya. So it'll be interesting to see who's got the intent to go for that takedown first, but I really do like Hani Yaya here. I think even if Kyung Ho Kang goes for it first, I mean, he's got submissions off of his back. He counters well. He sweeps well. Like, There's a reason the guy's still around at this fucking age, and it's because his jiu-jitsu is so damn good. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Hani in this one.
I am going with Kang. Bigger, Konos and Kang. Bigger. This is a Simpsons episode. Finally, we're finally back to the Simpsons. Bigger, younger, better striker. That's all I need to hear to pick a fighter. So I will take him. But and he's got a submission game of his own. So Kang is a pick, and we finally differed on the main card. All right, this next one could be probably the best fight on this card. This one could be the main event. Welterweights, Michael Chiesa versus Sean Brady. Maverick Chiesa will break down first. He's 18-5, 11 submissions. He's been subbed himself four times via submission, so four out of his five losses have come via submission. He's 11-5 in the UFC. He's won four of his last five. He lost via submission his last fight. He's 4-0 on the Ultimate Fighter, where he was the champion of that season. He used to fight at lightweight. He was the LOTC champ. You know that promotion, Dan?
LOTC. Is that a Pacific Northwestern promotion, I'm remembering?
Sure. That's where he's from, so sure, yes.
Yeah, I think it was in the Pacific Northwest.
Lords of the Cage, I believe, is what it's called.
Oh, nice.
Yes. He's 3 inches taller, got 3 inches of reach over Brady, plus 130. Sean Brady, 14-0, three knockouts, four submissions. He's won all four of his UFC fights, last two via submission. He's the CFFC champion, or he was CFFC champion. He also used to fight at lightweight. He's 5 years younger than Chiesa, striking stats in his favor, grappling stats in his favor, plus he's two times more active striker. Minus 176. Superfan John can't wait for us to break down this fight, Dan, so let's do it.
I mean, I think everybody knows who I'm picking. I even got one of our fans who listened to the podcast who texted me, messaged me in a Facebook message, "Well, I know you're going with Sean Brady," which I was like, man, am I that fucking transparent? But yeah, I'm going with Sean Brady here. Here's the deal and how I made this decision. So I've been thinking a lot about how Michael Chiesa's wrestling's good, right? Like, there's no doubt about that. His submission skills are good. But I drew two things that really helped me, you know, finalize that I'm picking Sean Brady here. And, of course, I was always leaning it because, as I said, I'm big into Team Daniel Gracie right now out of Hensel Gracie Philly. I think what they're doing down there is incredible, building these, like, big, heavy-looking wrestlers who've got good jiu-jitsu skills. Here's the thing about Michael Chiesa. Everybody has been saying, like, oh, he's different now that he's up at bantamweight, right? Or welterweight, rather. He's different up at welterweight. He's a better wrestler, right? And he's able to do what he – but look at who he's fought. He fought Carlos Condit first, who's notoriously a god-awful wrestler, right? Like, that's what we know about Carlos Condit. The second fight, he fought against Diego Sanchez, who isn't really a welterweight. He's fought at lightweight a mess of times, right? So he fought another lightweight. Then he fought Rafael Dos Anjos, another lightweight, right? And then he fought Neil Magny, which we can give him credit for Neil Magny, but Neil Magny's not shaped, even in the slightest way, like Sean Brady is, right? Sean Brady is a juice box, whereas Neil Magny's long and lanky and fights that style. Then Vicente Luque chokes him out. And once I remembered, you know, Vicente Luque choked him out. Vicente Luque is pretty damn good. I went back and looked at all of his most recent losses. In Michael Chiesa's most recent losses, submission loss to Vicente Luque, submission loss to Anthony Pettis, submission loss to Kevin Lee, TKO'd by Joe Lozon, submission loss to Jorge Masvidal. And granted, that goes back quite a long ways to get to all of those losses because he does have an incredible record, but of those fighters who beat him, four out of the five beat him by submission, and the one that I draw the most from is Kevin Lee. Kevin Lee is built like Sean Brady is, and he took him down pretty easily. And granted, again, at lightweight, but I think Sean Brady is a massive welterweight. I sort of think we're going to see a performance that looked like when Kevin Lee beat Michael Chiesa. He's going to take him down. He's going to be on top. He's going to, like, pressure pass and all that kind of stuff, get in good positions, beat the hell out of him, wear him out. I like Sean Brady quite a bit in this fight based on – I just don't think Chiesa has fought anybody like that other than Kevin Lee, and he looked awful doing it.
Yep, Sean Brady is the pick for me as well. No tailing once again. Better striker. That could be the difference here if both of their grappling negates each other. And yeah, Chiesa, yeah, I see him physically manhandling Chiesa in this fight. And Chiesa is also, he gets submitted a lot. So I could see Brady submitting him as well, or just grinding out a win. So yeah, Brady is the pick. I'm liking the -176 line that comes back on that.
Yeah, I actually think that line's really nice. I think the fact that you're not getting him at -200 with the hype that's behind him is pretty awesome.
Or is he getting set up for his first prospect loss, Dan?
I mean, like, Chiesa, and, you know, I really thought about that a lot before I picked Sean Brady. Because, you know, like I said, I am a fan of his, and I try not to just pick people I'm a fan of. You saw me avoid Davey Grant, sadly. And I really like Joanne Calderwood, Jojo Woodwood. So like, I'm fans of all of them, but like, didn't pick them. So I wanted to make sure I like did my due diligence, and I think there's a possibility that happens. But the fact that Chiesa has had trouble with people like him before gives me a lot of confidence in it. You know, like, and it's not like he's got a bad gas tank either, right? Like, didn't he go the distance with Well, he almost went the distance with Jake Matthews before submitting him. He went, you know, the distance with Court McGee or Ismail Nardiev. So, like, it's not like we've never seen him go deep into fights, too.
His strength of schedule is a bit of a concern to me, because other than Matthews, he really he's had it kind of easy throughout his first four UFC fights, wouldn't you say?
I think Ismail Nardiev is a beast.
He's gone, though, is he not?
He's gone kind of on an unfair premise, too, though. Like, he stepped in on short notice and beat the hell out of Michel Prezerish. He beat C.R. Bahadurzada, and he went 2-2. And then I think he chose to leave. I don't think he was fired. Okay. I think his contract was up. Went 2-2. Lost to Sean Brady and Chance Reencounter, who is like a poor man Sean Brady. Like, he was like a wrestler type too. So I think some of that is tough. And also, I will say this about Sean Brady's strength of schedule. So Court McGee, tough wrestler. Yeah. Ismail Nardiev, tough wrestler. Jake Matthews, tough wrestler. So, like, his resume is filled with guys like that. And even, we can go deeper than that, too. He beat Gilbert Urbina, finalist on The Ultimate Fighter, on the regional circuit. He beat Colton Smith, winner of The Ultimate Fighter, and notorious good wrestler on the regional circuit. He also beat Aaron Jeffrey, the guy who was just on Dana White's Contender Series, who I was talking about, you know, who I really liked and just thought he ran into an unfortunate matchup. He's fought good dudes for a really long time and a lot of guys who can wrestle really well for a really long time. So I just think he's had experience with Chiesa's type, and Chiesa hasn't done so well against his type.
Yep, that's true. Hopefully this is good for you, Superfan Zhang. Let's move to the main event, women's bantamweights, Ketlin Vieira versus Misha Tate. Misha Cupcake Tate, of course. Vieira's phenomenal. We just had El Phenomeno last. Our friend Joel Alvarez is El Phenomeno, is he not? Yes,
he is definitely the Phenom.
Yes, this one, Vieira is just Phenom. There's no La or L or anything before her name. All right, this, like I said, this will be our women's bantamweight main event. Let's break it down first with Cupcake Tate, 19-7, 4 knockouts, 7 submissions. She's been knocked out twice in her career and submitted 3 times. She's 6-4 in the UFC. She made her triumphant return by TKOing Manon Renault earlier this year. What else can I tell you? She was the former UFC bantamweight champion in her past life. She also was in Strikeforce, where she went 6-2 and was the champion there. She also was the FCF champion. Did we not just mention FCF earlier? I think we did, didn't we?
Yeah, you mentioned that twice today. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, okay. No,
Pacific
FCF,
Northwest. Pacific Northwest. Oh no, that was a different one. Never
it
mind.
Was FSF, I think. Anyhow, she was FCF champ. Who cares? She also was a grappling champ. -105. So the main event is pretty much a pick'em. Also, Phenomeno Vieira, 11-2, 2 knockouts, 4 submissions, 5-2 in the UFC. She's got loss, win, loss. She lost her last fight. She also missed weight her last fight. She was a Mr. Cage champ, which seems kind of it's like when you call someone's wife Mr. Whoever. or Mrs. Daniel Vreeland. It's it doesn't seem right. Anyhow, she was a Mr. Cage champ though. Also the Big Way champ. Dan is a big fan of both those promotions.
I've never heard of Mr.
Cage. You should watch Mr. Cage. 2 inches taller, 3 inches of reach, 5 years younger. The more active striker. Grappling stats also in her favor, -120. Break her down.
So I'm going to say this. I'll lead with the fact that I'm going to pick Misha Tate.
I am not.
Ah, really? You,
tough one, though.
Maybe I'm about to tell you exactly the reasons you're not going to pick her. Is that – so I think if we see the Misha Tate that I believe is still in there and was there 3 years ago, and I don't mean the Raquel Pennington lost one, but the the one who made it to the title and fought for the title, and heck, maybe even the one who fought Amanda Nunes. If that one is still in there, I believe that she beats Caitlin Vieira. I believe she beats her every single time because that one wrestled really well. And we just watched Caitlin Vieira get like countered and the crap beat out of her by Yana Kunitskaya, who is not known for her wrestling. So if that's in there for Misha Tate, in addition to it looked like her boxing took big jumps forward in that Marion Renault fight. I think if that we see that Misha Tate, she wins this fight. The problem is, and the reason I'm so hesitant, and the reason I would never put her in a parlay right now, is that we don't know anything about what this Misha Tate looks like, right? She was away for all that time. She had two kids. She comes back. She beats the hell out of Marion Renault on a 4-fight losing streak and literally announcing her retirement before the fight, right? Like, what stock can you put in that victory? Now, she did finish her, which nobody had done to Marion Renault in her whole career. But also, like, she finished a 44-year-old who had announced her retirement and was ready to take her fifth straight loss. So I'm not ready to give a whole bunch of stock to Misha Tate there, but I do just kind of believe she was training enough through all that time away that there's still a semblance of that good wrestler that we, you know, that beat the hell out of fucking Holly Holm. Like, if that fighter is still in there, she has no problem with Caitlin Vieira. So maybe I'm banking on like my old belief that it could hang through, but I could definitely see if in your shoes here, you're taking Caitlin Vieira, I'm saying you're most likely guessing that's not still in her.
Yeah. It's the unknown, is what I'm betting against, I guess. Like who knows how Tate's going to look in a 5-round fight also. She looked very good against, I called her Manon Renault, I believe. It's see how quickly you forget these people once they retire. Marion Renault. My apologies, Ms. Renault.
Well, it's because Manon Fierro sounds
right,
like
yes.
Marion
yes.
Oh, Renault. Yes.
True. We like Manon Fierro on this podcast. Anyhow, this is not a Manon Fierro podcast, this episode at least.
The Daniel Grace podcast. We talked about that.
And it's not a, who's the guy you just went in on? I already forgot. The guy who just got cut, you say, no, he left Nardiev.
Oh, Ishmael Nardiev. I'm pro Nardiev.
We're not pro murder, but we'll accept murder, but we won't accept genocide. That's right.
That's right. Yeah.
All right. Back to Cupcake. Yeah, she did look very good, but that was, like you said, there's a lot of qualifiers in that last fight. This is 5 rounds against a fighter who's quite younger than her and bigger than her. And obviously far more active over the past few years. So I guess I'm betting against the unknown of Tate. I wouldn't be shocked to see her win, hence the close line. I'm sure most people are kind of on the fence about this fight. So it could go either way. Hopefully it will go my way, though.
Yeah, it's one I bottom line just don't feel good about at all. Like, yeah. I this is one. If we didn't have our rule where you bet $100 on every fight, this is one to avoid. This is one to just stay away from.
This is the type of fight Tate needs, though, if they want to get her up to title contention.
Or feed us another Amanda Nunes, Misha Tate fight.
Exactly. That's what we all want, right?
I can't think of anything I want more.
nip the comeback in the bud. Have her get destroyed by Amanda Nunes. All right. You went against one of our old hashtags, throw her in a parlay. You said do not throw this one in a parlay.
Do not throw her in a parlay. We'll talk about the 10-1, the Superfan Jong special coming up later.
All right, let's do it. You have anything else to say about the main event?
No,
I like the co-main event better.
Yeah, me too. I think it would be a better five-round fight, too. I think the five round nature of Brady versus Chiesa would answer more questions too. So, but it is. Yeah. Yeah, I like both fights. It's a good fight card, top to bottom, really.
It is, yeah. It's not, like I said, it doesn't come out great on paper, but it's got a lot of interesting fighters on it. So that's all you can ask for. And a lot of tough picks, which means if I hit them, then we're going to make a lot of money. But I guess everybody just tails Dan, so hopefully Dan hits all of his picks and you all can make a lot of money because there's a lot of close lines here. So, all right, give him some props to hit and some parlays to hit.
So the first one I'm going to take is Sean Brady by submission. We talked about how Chiesa has lost a bunch by submission, including to somebody who fights similarly to Sean Brady. You can get that at +275, which I think is, if you already like Brady, I might want to dabble on that line a little bit as well. On the opening fight, I talked about how Luana Pinheiro is a finisher, and Sam Hughes is super tough, but like if you want a little action on that first fight and you're looking to drop $100 on every single fight, why not drop on Luana Pinheiro by finish? And you don't have to pick submission or TKO, because I think she could get either of them, but you can get just a finish straight up at +140 right now is what I'm seeing it at. So I like both of those particularly. The rest of the card, kind of hard to see tons of finishes in there. I could see a lot of overs hitting, but those are the two props I'm liking right now.
All right. Let's get our super fan Jong 10 times money minimum prop parlay back going here.
All right. So the first one I want to put in this is I do like Sean Brady. You know, I mentioned I like Sean Brady before. I'm going to stick with picking Sean Brady. I'm also going to take Talia Santos. I think despite the fact that number is kind of high, that's like a good one to throw in a parlay. Let's see. Who else do I really like in this one? So I'm going to go Brady, Santos. Let's go with Terrence McKinney. You're going to boost that number a little bit quicker with somebody like Terrence McKinney than you would with somebody else. And I'm going to go with Natan Levy because I like him against Rafa Garcia, and then Pinheiro, and that'll give you 10-1. Pinheiro's going to win for sure. So we'll take Sean Brady, Talia Santos, Terrence McKinney, Natan Levy, and Luana Pinheiro.
There you go. Since I bailed on you last time we were making picks, I will let you have the first choice of lock of the week.
Lock of the week. Well, it's got to be one from my list here. So
it doesn't have to be, but yes.
It'd be a pretty silly parlay if I've got a lock in. I'm going to say Sean Brady. I've been harping on it the whole time. The number's low. I really do believe in the guy. I probably could pick some guys with a little bit higher of numbers here, but his just, I mean, it makes sense.
Yep. I was going to take him too. I'll take Pinheiro. I don't care if the number's high. It's supposed to be a lock, so you're not going to get an awesome number. So she is my lock pick at -425. So
I'll throw a backup one for people in there too. Throw in Adrian Yanez, he's kind of like a little bit lower than Pinheiro, but like, I think he's going to cruise, too, pretty easily.
All right. Well, choo-choo-choo, Dan. Where's this train headed to next?
I'm David Gubbie-Ridden.
We're done.
Yeah. We're all done. We should remind them that they can subscribe to the MMA Gambling Podcast specific feed, because if they don't do that, they won't get these odds super early, and then those odds lines, those change because, hey, we're influencers. That's what we do. And also make sure that you check out all of our writing on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, or if you want some MMA-specific writing, you can check that out at MMA-manifesto.com. Did I miss anything?
Yes, you did. Our Twitter handle, Jeff Fox writer, and Gumby Vreeland. We're taking, I can't remember what the line is. Positive feedback and criticism. Is that what I'm supposed to say, Dan?
Positive and negative feedback. Positive, I think Shockwave named this.
tell us if we did you good.
Did you write or did you dirty? Yeah, did you write or did you dirty?
Actually, I don't really care if I did you dirty. So don't bother complaining to me if my picks don't come through, because I don't care. I'm not Shockwave. I was Shockwave Jeff for a while, but I've changed my name. I don't know what I am this week. I'm gonna let Dan do the goodbyes, and we'll see what I am this week.
We'll throw it back old school. I am David Gumby Vreeland. He is the Arctic Jeff Fox. And we will catch you next week. No, we'll catch you on Sunday.
Yeah, it's technically next week. It depends what kind of calendar you're going off of, but yes.